Welcome to OnClive On Air. I'm your host today, Gina Morrow. OnClive On Air is a podcast from OnClive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, OnClive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Tony Chiweri, MD, Director of the Lenk Center for Genitourinary Oncology, Director of the Kidney Cancer Center, and Senior Physician at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, as well as the Jerome and Nancy Kohlberg Chair and Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School, and Robert J. Motzer, MD, the Kidney Cancer Section Head in the Genitourinary Oncology Service, and Jack and Dorothy Byrne Chair in Clinical Oncology at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Both Dr. Chiweri and Motzer were authors on the CheckMate 9ER study, results of which were recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine and were the basis for the January 2021 approval of nivolumab and cabozantinib as a frontline treatment for patients with advanced renal cell carcinoma. In the Phase 3 CheckMate 9ER trial, investigators set out to examine the safety and efficacy of nivolumab and cabozantinib versus sunitinib as a frontline treatment in patients with advanced RCC with clear cell histologic features. Data showed that the combination of nivolumab and cabozantinib showcased significant benefit in terms of progression-free survival, overall survival, and responses versus sunitinib in the frontline setting. In our exclusive interview, both Drs. Chiweri and Motzer discussed the clinical implications of the CheckMate 9ER data in advanced RCC and how to best use the combination in clinical practice.
I'd love to know, what did we learn from the publication of these data that we didn't previously know from other presentations of the study?
There was a second update of the data that Dr. Motzer, the co-lead of the study, gave. We, during the GU Cancer Symposium, updated the survival with more follow-up, and we showed that the survival benefit, the OS, has persisted. The PFS hazard ratio remained very, very strong. And both Dr. Motzer and Sella also embarked on a much more elaborate and detailed exploration of the patient-reported outcome and the quality of life. During the ESMO 2020, Dr. Motzer and I reported on two metrics, the FKSI-19 and the FKSI-DRS, which is a subset of FKSI-19. But during the GU Cancer Symposium, Dr. Motzer and Sella reported on way more. And it was refreshing to see that the quality of life data, even with more reporting of metrics like time to treatment deterioration, the EQ5DL and other, remains strongly favoring the combination of cabozantinib, nivolumab over sunitinib.
This was a phase three trial that Dr. Chiweri and I led. It was sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and by Exelixis. It demonstrated a high level of efficacy for nivolumab plus cabozantinib over the standard of care sunitinib. Both, nivolumab is approved as monotherapy in patients who have progressed on sunitinib, and cabozantinib showed a survival benefit in a large phase three trial that Tony and I also led called the Meteor trial. And this was really the first time that the two were combined and compared to sunitinib, which has been the standard of care for the last 15 years. It follows on an earlier trial that we both contributed to as well, which was the 214 trial that showed a benefit for ipi-nivo compared to sunitinib. It fills a gap by giving us additional regimen, a TKI-IO combination that is also nivo-based with a very effective TKI-cabozantinib in first-line therapy.
Now, this combination has recently gained approval in the frontline setting. So how would you say that it's changed clinical practice already? How are you best using it?
Well, I think overall we just gained approval, and at the time the drugs hit the system and all that, but we're starting to use it as one of the preferred VEGF IO combination. One of the things about the combination of cabozantinib and nivolumab here is that if you look at the baseline characteristic compared to other studies, it looks like overall, the population is more so, has more adverse risk. So it is the, it's the study that has the least amount of patients with kidney out prior nephrectomy. The patient with poor risk are more so, and the favorable risk are less so than other VEGF-IO combination like pembrolizumab and axitinib. And you have the quality of life data that I believe is one of the most advanced with VEGF-IO combination. But what I don't know what Bob and I are thinking now is already the next step. And there is a study perhaps Bob can talk about that him and I are co-leading called COSMIC 313. We're already in the future.
Yeah. What's happened in the paradigm is a few years back, Nivo plus Ipi showed superiority over sunitinib. But there are certainly some gaps in patient care. Not all patients respond to Nivo-Ipi. Some certain groups, you know, we are more inclined to treat with VEGF-targeted therapy. So I think that the you know, the Cabo-Nivo was a natural extension of our work together with a TKI-IO rather than an IO-IO combination. And so, you know, the next step, which Tony has led, is this COSMIC 313 trial, which compares the triplet of Nivo Ipi plus Cabo to Nivo Ipi plus placebo. And so I think it's, you know, my impression is it's the top priority first line trial globally, because, you know, we're really hoping it's kind of the home run and combines the best of both regimens, the Nivo-Cabo and the Nivo-Ipi regimen, and hopefully sustained benefit, long-term benefit, and CRs to our patients. So that is a, you know, that is a trial that was conducted globally. I think it's just, it's either wrapped up accrual or will be wrapping up accrual very shortly. And hopefully we'll, you know, have an answer to that trial sometime next year. There's also a companion trial that's being done through the cooperative group that is also a study that's looking at incorporating cabozantinib with Nivo and Ipi as well.
Correct. One thing to say that the COSMIC 313 is intermediate and poor risk, so those 80% of patients, because the control arm Nivo-Ipi is approved in intermediate and poor. And the other thing is, yeah, to remind everyone about an academic alliance-led trial by the name Pedigree, where it asks a different question. Rather than putting all the drugs ahead, 3 versus 2, patients start by Nivo-Ipi, and depending on their response, they may or may not need cabozantinib. If they have a progression, they go to cabo. If they have a CR, they stay 1 year on Nivo. And if in those 70% of patients that don't have a CR, don't have a PD, usually they get maintenance nivolumab, but perhaps they need cabozantinib. So that's where the randomization will happen with an OS primary endpoint. I think, you know, it's a very strategic trial to not answer the question, is 3 superior to 2, but is 3 superior to 2 in a certain sequence? And this trial is accruing actually pretty well and through Alliance, open at many sites in the United States.
It definitely speaks to this, you know, precision oncology, which we're very much involved and very much in right now, but really carries on that trend into the future and tailoring to these specific patients. Nivolumab and cabozantinib is not the only immuno-TKI combination that we have available, right? So how does this compare, do you think, in your own personal opinion, with velumab axitinib, pembroxitinib? How are you deciding, you know, which patient should get which combination? And is there a really kind of optimal sequence? Can you go with one and then use another combination in the second or third line?
Besides nivolumab, ipilimumab, pembro-based combination, pembro-axi or pembro-lan have an overall survival benefit. And we've seen with Dr. Moser leading the pembro-lan, the CLEAR study, there's quite an intriguing efficacy parameter with a CR of 16% and a PFS, the only PFS over 20 months. So this is very interesting. The one thing with pembrolizumab, it seems that, you know, there are a bit more a favorable risk on the trial, but and there is no quality of life yet. Hopefully the quality of life data, you know, comes in. But it's certainly a very important option if this is to be, you know, provided. And I can comment whether one over the other, because they haven't been compared to each other. They were against sunitinib, and I wouldn't say it's the same population, simply because not looking at the baseline characteristic, but looking at the performance of sunitinib in each arm, which ranges between 8 and 11 months. So you know that that's because the characteristic, or you could look at the CR rate for sunitinib on each arm. So you know that baseline, they're different trial per se. In terms of your question, could we move from one combination to another? I think the problem, the biggest problem here, these are PD-1 and PD-L1 based combinations. So if the patient tumor progressed on first line, let's say cabozantinib and nivolumab, should, and then they get a TKI, should a third line or a second line be pembrolizumab and lenvatinib? What is the data of using a PD-1, PD-L1 after progression on PD-1, PD-L1? This is not, you know, I don't want to say these are packaged together as frontline untreated patient. It doesn't mean they could be or they should be given later. To that end, there are two studies here that we're involved in. Perhaps Dr. Mozer can talk about where the experimental arm is continuing the checkpoint inhibitor.
The other thing is I think there's really three standout IO TKI combinations. I think they're the pembrolizumab axitinib, the KEYNOTE-426, the lenvatinib pembrolizumab, and the cabozantinib nivolumab from our New England Journal of Medicine publication. They all showed improvement in response, PFS, and overall survival compared to sunitinib. So I think to a certain extent, you know, they've distinguished themselves from avelumab and axitinib. We really can't make cross-study comparisons and pick the winner, I believe. They're all very effective. So, I mean, I kind of look upon it as them all being confirmatory for the approach of TKI-IO efficacy in first-line therapy. And in terms of choice for one over another, I think it's going to depend on the level of comfort with the prescribing physician. I think it's going to be familiarity with one drug or another. What combination is kind of easiest to give? What's the best experience that the physician in the community has with one program over another? In terms of, you know, a follow-up therapy, I mean, there was a large trial, a single-arm study that we did that looked at lenvatinib pembro in patients who had progressed on prior IO therapy that showed a high response rate, a good progression-free survival in that population. But the question really is unanswered in terms of whether there is a benefit for continued IO therapy in patients who have progressed on first-line IO regimen, and particularly an IO TKI. And so there is one study that is open. It's called the CONTACT trial. Dr. Schueri is the lead of that. We're participating in that at MSK as well. And that is looking at cabozantinib and atezolizumab versus cabozantinib in patients who have progressed on first-line IO therapy. So I think that remains kind of an open question.
True, that's true. So there is this study which I co-lead with Dr. Monty Pal, and there's another study that I actually co-lead with Dr. Mozer, which is looking at a new drug that just got approved by the name tivozanib. It's a clean VEGF TKI that has a story in renal cell, a very, very long story. Initially, it was Dr. Mozer with TIVO-1, but now it got approved as a monotherapy in third line versus sorafenib. And now we're taking this, Dr. Mozer, to the next step to combine it with nivolumab versus tivozanib alone in patients whose tumor progressed on prior IO-based therapy. And that study is going to, you know, it didn't open yet, but there was a press release a couple of days ago so it's in the public domain that it's being planned.
Yeah, so we're both very excited about that trial. I think one of the favorable aspects of that is tivozanib is not... it's not used in first line in the United States. And so patients will not have had tivozanib prior. I think one of the limiting factors for some of the, you know, the cabozantinib second or third line trials is now it's a first line program, but none of the patients will have gotten tivozanib first line. So it's really kind of a fresh approach. And there's really been a lot of excitement around tivozanib because it's a very well tolerated compound that we've really hoped would be available for our patients for a long time. And with this recent approval, it will be. And so I think it's a very exciting trial. It will be one that patients will really seek out and want to be treated on that program.
Going back to CheckMate 90R, this was a study that everybody was talking about on social media. What do you think it is about this combination that has garnered so much attention and traction amongst the community?
There's been a lot of kind of favorable opinion about cabozantinib. Cabozantinib came in a little late in RCC armamentarium, but it's shown really exceptional activity. In the Meteor trial, with a benefit in overall survival compared to everolimus, it was really pretty striking. Benefits in overall survival have been elusive previously in just about all our trials in RCC. And so it also, and Tony led a trial called the CABOSUN that showed a benefit in first-line therapy compared to sunitinib. So I think for cabozantinib, it's all about efficacy. It's very widely used by physicians. They're very comfortable using cabozantinib in second- and third-line therapy. So it was no surprise that there was striking efficacy that we showed in 9ER in the New England Journal of Publication. And I think in certain ways, it's a drug that we're very comfortable with giving. It's a flat dose in monotherapy, it's 60 milligrams, but in the combination, it's 40 milligrams and dose reduction to 20 or even 20 every other day. So I think it's a very easy program for people to give, and RCC oncologists are very familiar with that drug based on its extensive use in second and third line therapy.
The one thing is, if we, there's a lot of preclinical rationale for cabozantinib because of the immune modifying behavior of the cabozantinib targeting kinases like VEGFR, which we know that's, but also MET, XL, TYRO3, MER, how it helps, how VEGF by itself inhibit the maturation of dendritic cell and reduces lymphocyte infiltration and also the release of HGF and the MET activation that drives PD-L1 expression and the role of XL all play a negative role, if you want, in the immune system fighting the cancer. So cabozantinib comes here and it does have this immune permissive properties here. Overall by targeting all these kinases. And there's a lot of preclinical data around it. Now, all these properties contributed to cabozantinib efficacy or simply because it's a better VEGFR2? We don't know, but it is believed, if you look at the preclinical, that matters. Same thing a bit with lenvatinib, the target. In addition to VEGFR, FGFR, which is involved in resistance to VEGF inhibitor, but also in some, immune modulatory effect.
Is there anything else about CheckMate 9ER that you want the community to know about?
It's a very effective regimen. It's a regimen that's easy to give. And the study suggested that it's a fairly tolerable regimen. And I think that, part of the tolerability, the good tolerability was the choice of the cabozantinib at a slightly lower dose that's seen in monotherapy.
I agree. I think also it would be good to look at further subgroup analysis and more updated result. One of the things with all these VEGF IO, we need to know how the hazard ratio for OS stays. And we have two updates, I think, with Keynote 426 and two updates for 9ER. And the hazard ratio for OS is persistent. So we'll continue also looking at this and challenging the dogma from one to two drugs combination, hopefully to three drug combination. Obviously, cost matters. And we have to take that in perspective. Tolerability is very, very, very important. So we have to look at that extremely closely because common sense, three drugs are more toxic than two, but how much, what's the balance? And we're gonna continue this exciting field of renal cell cancer.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and at EnclaveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave On Air.